When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. We are real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all. I just told you who I thought I was. A guy.
I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish.
Why don't they like me? Cause Nike gave a lot of niggas checks when I'm the only nigga ever to check Nike. Richer than white people with black kids. Scarier than black people with ideas. Nobody can tell me where I'm heading. I feel like Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen at my wedding.
Is that the verse?
I mean, I don't always do a whole verse. I mean, seen Kanye was with Scottie Pippen's kids.
I feel like the listeners like when you sing now. The people have given, I guess, some strong reaction. Or they just like think it's funny. I don't know. I can't tell.
It's not funny, dog. It's serious business when I say her name, my fans, dog.
All right. Well, we'll put that to it. That should be the next poll. Do you want Rob to sing more or not?
It's a rough time to be an R&B fan right now. You know what I'm saying?
What's that?
I mean, Usher out here burning. R. Kelly out here, you know, with his cult and whatnot.
They really just let that slip through the cracks. We were mad for 3 days.
Bobby V out here hiding behind pants.
I didn't hear about it.
All right. I just watched the video for that today.
That was crazy.
I missed that. You gotta.
So it was a transgender lady supposedly behind the camera, uh-huh. And she videoing Bobby Valentino put his clothes back on, and he put his pants over his face and try to hide, and then he just walks away. He leaves some of his clothes. He leaves like his bag and stuff.
Where is his at?
You're not gonna get your stuff. Well, you better get my money or else I'm putting this out. And then he just, like, walks out. Is that like some hotel?
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
What is Bobby Valentino doing?
She gonna let me beep.
Oh, man. Hey, everybody. We got Vince. welcome to the Book of Yay podcast. I'm Chris Daniels.
Shawty been eyeing me.
And Rob's just gonna sing for the rest of the episode. And we got a special guest, comedian, fellow Detroit brethren, yeah. My man Alex English.
No,
fuck you.
Atlanta's the cousin to Detroit.
That's what I'm saying.
All y'all want to be Jeezy anyway.
That's not
Jeezy show up to Detroit that's and literally like he's in love. He's lucky because everybody doesn't get that reception. Ask Rick Ross. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he ain't saying that. He ain't saying that when he showed up to Detroit.
Trick to let anybody in. Not everybody.
He lets Jeezy in.
Jeezy in.
Him and Gucci.
He has the express pass, that easy pass, straight through.
Easy pass. Into Hart Plaza.
He's like, where is this, the Hart Plaza Shane Park?
Too many Detroit references for Rob. I guess so. We got to cool it.
He does not look happy.
I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't know nothing after Smokey Robinson. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what y'all talking about.
I know about Hitsville, and that's it.
That Bobby V thing is a trip, though. It's a trip because, this is not the first time we've seen a black even, but an entertainer get caught up.
But on the video,
it's
the video. It's the hiding behind the pants.
Well, it wasn't his pants. It was his drawers. That's the thing.
Wait.
I watched it this morning, and I was like, are those his underwear? He's just hiding. It's not his pants. Those are his underwear. So what I took from that
was
that
like long johns?
I don't know what the situation was because he still walked out of the room.
Whatever the situation was, he did not feel confident in swatting at the phone. And so funny. He felt like he had to hide behind articles of clothing.
And then you got Duval and Charlamagne talking crazy about transgender people on Breakfast Club.
Same
so,
weekend.
I mean, trans rights is at an all-time high this weekend.
I did see that. It's just becoming more evident that so many people just don't understand trans culture and like what they go through. I myself don't even understand, but so many people speak on it as if they have
Kanye
actual
does.
Information.
Kanye appreciates it.
What you mean?
Yeah,
I mean, he hasn't beat up Bruce Jenner yet. So.
No,
yeah, okay.
He was supportive of Caitlyn. Yeah.
See, and that's I feel like if we have more people doing that. Now, of course, like that just reminds me of Chappelle's bit that he does in his new special about Kanye, seeing Kanye in Hollywood and like being like, you know, y'all didn't see it before he came out as transgender. I saw Kanye walking around the streets, and he was looking at me like, just wait until you see in a few months what's about to happen.
I feel like that was made up, though.
I don't think it was.
You don't think it was?
Mm-mm. I feel like Kanye is definitely the type of person that wears his emotions on his sleeve.
But I don't think he was, okay. No, I agree with that.
You talking about Dave Chappelle's angle?
I think the connection. You know what I'm
saying? The connection of like him
Kanye,
looking miserable.
Why the long face?
Oh, why the long face?
We have many of photo of Kanye with long face.
Well, yeah, but you never know like what type of like family conversation or get together happened where Bruce sat them down and was like, okay, y'all, I won't have a dick in like 2 months. So,
but when,
you know,
when,
and that's a lot for somebody, especially since you married into that family. Like,
when
that's a lot.
When Bruce had the special, when Caitlyn had the special that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
She said that Kanye was, you know, the person who told Kim to contact him, you know?
Okay.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, Kanye, I think having lost a family member, having, you know, knowing the importance of their relationship, you know, I mean, that was, you know, he's, now I don't know how true that is, but he got the credit as being the person to, you know, get Kim to, you know, even though she was hurt and she was upset, to, you know, reach out and start communication again. So
yeah, I mean, I just would never forget that one. I don't know what party they were at, but there was a picture of him sitting next to Caitlyn, and it was there. First of all, I don't like Caitlyn at all anyway, so
no,
if he did sucker punch her one time, you know, I wouldn't be mad about it, but I wouldn't call it transphobic. It'd be more of a political statement. But you know
what? The views of Alex does not reflect Robert Forever Dog Chris.
They are,
you know,
solely
the
my own.
Gay,
so any of your
Club.
Gay, any of your gay fan base can direct all of their transgressions.
That's what we brought you here for, man. You fucking it up.
They're transgressions. This can be directed
weird.
My way.
You're gonna get transgressions.
It's okay. It's okay.
The news is weird. The juice is loose. The mooch is loose. America's in disarray.
The mooch is loose sounds like somebody got herpes.
I like
going
it.
Down on someone.
A little bit. All I know is the White House is always in disarray.
Yeah.
Kyrie and LeBron are, I guess they're being petty.
I've been
Kyrie's
away from this story.
They're
for
being
a
extremely petty.
What exactly is happening? Can someone? I haven't really been reading like what.
Okay.
Is.
So Kyrie said that he wanted to be traded from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
Keep in mind, this hasn't come out of Kyrie saying it to the press or anything, but when he met with management this offseason a few weeks ago, he made it known that he wanted to be traded. And the story that's been put out is the reason he wants to be traded is that he doesn't want to play next to LeBron James anymore.
Okay.
Now, he don't have no trade clause. He don't have no...
he just want to leave.
He doesn't have LeBron protections.
He don't have no kind of protections. And he's on contract for 2 years. So Cleveland can just be like, hey, either you're going to sit on the bench or you're going to, you know, you're going to shoot some shots or you're going to do whatever, but you staying.
Yeah, like you'll be in training camp.
He's trapped.
He's trapped.
Or they can send him anywhere. They can be like, well, guess what? You are a Dallas Maverick now.
Yeah,
you know,
he put out a list of teams he would like to play for, which don't make sense when you list them.
Doesn't make
but
sense at all.
It's like you're not in a position. He's not in a position to make demands,
right?
At all. Really.
So
how long has he been with
part.
The Cavs? Like what? 4 years? 5 years?
He's playing with
his
the Cavs
whole
since
career.
His whole career. So he played 3 years before without LeBron, and then the last three with LeBron.
Okay.
And I mean, it's weird to hear somebody who's been to the finals 3 times in a row, but like, I don't want to be here anymore. You know,
that's true.
This is the reason Kevin Durant is going to another team.
Yeah,
and he's been reported as thinking like, oh, I want to be one of these guys who's the centerpiece. I want to be one of these point guards who got a team.
Built I don't want to play up around them.
I was like, have you talked to Dame Lillard lately?
But
like,
think about it. If you were on a team and you made the game-winning shot in Game 7. To win a team their first championship in 50-something years for the city, first time in 50-something years for the city, first championship in franchise history, you would be the guy who's going to get the statue. But because of all the attention LeBron gets, people almost forgot that happened.
They have a Kyrie the shot. They call it the shot. They know what it is.
Call it the block.
There's the shot and the block.
They don't talk about the shot as much as they talk about the block.
Maybe, but
the shot don't happen if the block don't happen. But
every
at the
time
same
they
time,
ask LeBron James
the block
about
don't
Kyrie,
mean nothing if
Kyrie,
the shot don't happen.
LeBron puts all the praise on Kyrie all the time. Mm-hmm. So this is kind
of everybody else doesn't though.
I mean, it's LeBron James.
All right.
That's his problem.
This is not a sports podcast.
But
that's his problem.
Let's just get into the petty.
Well, okay.
Kyrie go on Snapchat. Mm-hmm. First of all, you know,
which is the place.
First of all, yeah.
Listen, if our president can go to Twitter with his problems, an NBA player can go to Snapchat.
So he on a plane. he headed home
from China.
From China, and he plays "I'm Coming Home," which is the song that they kept playing for LeBron. You know, the Diddy song.
Yeah.
That they kept playing for LeBron. You know, shout out to Diddy. You know what I'm saying? He gonna get on Spotify and spin somehow. You know what I'm saying? Can't Stop, Won't Stop is on Apple Music right now. So, you know, so he playing that. Everybody took that as, oh, that was the name of the Sports Illustrated article where LeBron said he was coming to Cleveland. Oh, my God, he's being so petty, blah, blah, blah. So then what did LeBron do?
What did he do?
Didn't LeBron say something or do something?
All LeBron put out since then was about how
So Meek Mill album came out, and LeBron, he was in the gym, and he was now LeBron's been doing this thing where he has one hand on his phone with the front camera, and the other hand, he's doing, like, a Dame Dash dance.
The first big one was with the T-Grizzly song with First Day Out, and you saw that video, right?
Yeah.
When he's like singing First Day Out,
yes,
and he's like,
yes.
And they were like, people.
So he's doing that.
The LeBron challenge.
He's done a bunch of more workout videos over the course of the summer.
He's so bored. Oh, he needs
so
to go
LeBron
back to
just be in the gym with his compression shorts on. Put some shorts on, dog. You make shorts with your name on them. Put them on. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to see your whole butt. You know what I'm saying? I already got to see Lawrence.
I mean, I don't mind it, but also, like, you know, I have a different bias than.
I already got to see Lawrence's butt every Sunday. I don't need to see all these butts. You know what I'm saying?
Lawrence
Hive's
still strong, though. I didn't see yesterday's episode, so if anything happened to damage Lawrence Hive, I don't know yet.
No, actually Lawrence was like a real dude, you know what I'm saying? All team right. Lawrence, team honesty, team being real about your stuff, you'll see it. Anyway, so so Kyrie goes to Harrison Barnes' wedding. I don't know why a Duke person would go to a North Carolina person's wedding, but you know, that's neither hither
that
nor thither.
It's not gang wars.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? if you royal blue, why you at a Carolina blue wedding? But anyway, so they're there, and
so is Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is
and
there,
a bunch of other NBA
and
players.
Steph Curry on the dance floor doing the LeBron challenge dance. Now he lifting weights.
He's doing the
doing the incline press.
Was talking shit about LeBron at that
and
wedding.
And
Kyrie
is
in there loving it.
Dying.
Oh, they were talking big shit about him probably at that wedding. They're probably saying so much shit. Oh, I would love to have been there.
But you know, Kyrie FaceTimed Kobe when he won the championship. Kyrie got a dad.
Yeah.
He didn't FaceTime his dad. He FaceTimed Kobe. Like he think he's Kobe. Kobe and Shaq, they broke the team up. You know, they was two superstars. Kyrie and LeBron, the only people to put up 40.
Yeah, but Kobe and Shaq got into it because Shaq had done everything he really wanted to do. Shaq had let himself go. He wasn't working as hard as Kobe was at this point.
Yeah.
Kobe was still thinking of, I got 10 more years to build
Kobe
a legacy.
Kobe was putting up 40 on them playoff runs.
It just
Kobe had won some of them games.
It just seems weird to see Kyrie and LeBron fall out very suddenly.
But they were saying how Kyrie and LeBron didn't necessarily have like the best relationship in the first place anyway.
I think that it was a relationship that reporters and media were trying to dictate that LeBron was this parental figure or this much more. And
Kyrie did go to LeBron's summer camp.
I didn't know that.
There is a picture of Kyrie in high school and like shaking LeBron's hand, like, "Oh man, congratulations, you made it through the camp."
I understand some things. I understand if you're a 25-year-old dude and LeBron James is running everything, mm-hmm. essentially. Maybe you're like, "All right, I want some control of my own career and life, right. And I don't want this." That makes sense. The whole way he's going about it though doesn't really make sense to me.
I feel like most of like the NBA just needs to wait for LeBron to either retire or die. Like, it just has to be, like, one of those things.
I feel like death is a long ways away.
Or, like, a career-ending injury or something.
Jesus Christ.
Like, he's not going anywhere. So, it's like, somebody's going to have to deal with, like, his, you know, the way, even though he didn't win this year, you know, it's still, he still dominates the league. So, someone's going to have to bear that burden of playing under
him. And as far as pettiness goes.
It's like Jordan.
Kyrie's got all the, like, LeBron's pettiness level is very low right now, where he's just like, "Hey, man, I'm just enjoying my summer working to get to the finals again next year." Essentially, it's all he said.
Nah, that Meek Mill line was about, like, it was definitely about, like, people not being loyal to you and, like, you know, like, people hating on you and, like, it was very, the line that he chose was very specific. Applied to this Kyrie situation.
Well, what arguments do you think have existed between the two of them, if any? Like, what problems do you think have occurred
I think Kyrie is his own dude, and I think LeBron is like the guy that everybody loves in the locker room
and corrals around.
And so you know, LeBron is like everybody's buddy, and Kyrie, you know, he's super talented.
But he also thinks the earth is flat.
But he thinks the earth is flat.
You know.
And so if LeBron don't think the earth is flat, he think the earth is flat. You know what I'm saying? They probably like joking around, you know, spinning globes on their fingers and
Kyrie,
like having a good time.
You flew from China. Just look outside the window. You can see the curvature of the earth. I don't know what he needs as evidence. I hate flat earthers. That's all I'm just saying.
Flat earthers.
But I mean,
it's a flat society.
I feel like Kyrie feels like LeBron made the blueprint three, and you know what I'm saying? He's like falling off, you know, and he's like, all right. But then he comes through, you know, they make Watch the Throne, and then he comes with this Magna Carta Holy Grail stuff with Justin Timberlake, and he's like, what are y'all doing? You know what I'm saying?
So whose side are you on in this situation when you put it in that context? Because you got to pick a side.
It between Kyrie and LeBron, or between Jay-Z and
Kyrie and LeBron.
Because I mean, everyone knows. Because
they mirror. Well, yes, of course. But these situations kind of mirror one another in their, like, you know, aesthetically. They do.
I mean, okay, I got to go with LeBron just because Kyrie's not from Cleveland.
That's true.
So you got to understand, like, you in a city. But I get why he would want to be traded, but I don't get why you would mess up the situation, especially because you being that much of a Kobe fan, you know that Kobe has went back and said, dang, me and Shaq could have figured it out. You watch Shaq get a championship in 2006 in Miami. You watch him go to Eastern Conference Finals in 2005 when Kobe was struggling. So you know that, you know, Shaq had, they were all-star MVPs in 2009. Mm-hmm. You know they could have been straight for another 5 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why would you put that in jeopardy?
Like, that clearly had soured. This didn't seem to sour. Kyrie just decided suddenly, like, fuck it.
But and it's an age thing, too. And it's a perception thing. You come in the league, you rookie of the year, mm-hmm. you finally get that contract, you think you about to be the man, you out here wilding, you Uncle Drew. You know what I'm saying? Then somebody come through, and now you on a big stage. You able to show, like, yeah, I could cross up Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you know, it's an ego thing. It's a youth thing. It's a lot of things.
Yes, it's very much so. I agree with the age thing 100%. Yeah.
It definitely parallels everything that's going on with Kanye and Jay-Z and their careers.
A little
careers.
Bit.
Mm-hmm.
There, I don't know. There's this BBC documentary that's gonna come out this week. You guys can hear it if you guys can watch it if you listen this week, and they're gonna chronicle everything. But it's basically everything that we essentially know. but you get to see.
How they know? They all the way in London.
I'm talking about people who follow the reports.
But what I'm saying is they in London. How they know anything?
I'm talking about people who've been following Kanye and Jay-Z.
They talk to Tim Westwood.
Shut up. People who've been following the situation have a general idea.
How they know more than we know and they over there? We over here.
They don't know more.
It's called public enemies. The only public enemy I know is Chuck D, Professor Griff, Flavor Flav.
Don't forget the Johnny Depp movie.
I don't know the Johnny Depp movie.
It's a gangster movie. It's pretty good. It's all right. Anyways, you can see.
Shout out to Chuck D getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I was just there. Shout out to Monique. A couple weeks ago. It was a great place.
Shout out to Q from Smyrna.
Alex, you got a shout out?
Shout out to Jesus.
Right. Shout out to Jesus.
I'm Team Jesus now. No, I feel like in a lot of ways, this relationship between Jay-Z and Kanye parallels itself in the fact that just like Kyrie, Kanye kind of Kanye kind of jumped the gun and jumped to conclusions, I feel like, when I feel like there was no basis for it, really. And I'm sure that, you know, I love him. I love him to death. However, I do think he was a little erratic in the way he called out.
I think that he might have seen things that maybe weren't there, but he also felt like he deserved something.
Yes, just like Kyrie. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
No, I think it is like, okay, you're presenting to the world that we're friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We're like this narrative has been built that these guys are friends. They are sat next to each other at the BET Awards, at the MTV Awards. When Beyonce announces her pregnancy to the world, we see Kanye come behind Jay-Z and tap him on the shoulder like, yeah, this is great. We did this.
Wish it could have been me. Something I'm joking.
I don't know why people
I think he's in love with Beyonce way more than Jay-Z.
We all are human beings.
But no,
we
I think all are but in you love know with how the like there's that bee. Friend. You know how there's that friend that when there's always that dude where it's like you a little bit too close to my woman, homeboy. Like you a little too obsessed with her. Like I'm pretty sure he's like, you know, snuck a pair of her panties somewhere into like a duffel bag
what?
Of his.
How are
or
you
like,
sure of this?
Like, I mean, I'm not saying this as fact. I'm just saying what I think or what I've known people to do in the past in my life experiences. And I've known people to steal people's undergarments and keep them for them. And I mean, maybe I've done it once myself, but
okay, now we're
it's not about me.
What I'm saying is,
basically,
Come By The House comes after Kanye. Jay-Z doesn't come to the wedding. They didn't go to the wedding.
But you can understand why they didn't go to the wedding. Can you not?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons, I feel like. Because wasn't Kanye already kind of wilding out before the wedding with them when it came to like his relationship with Jay-Z? He was kind of being public about stuff that Jay-Z didn't really want.
I mean, they've always seemed to be different types of people.
Oh, well, absolutely. Yeah.
But that wedding is a spectacle.
That's what I always thought the kilt was. Uh-huh. I always thought the kilt was like testing Jay-Z. Because remember Jay-Z and R. Kelly had their issue when they were on tour together.
And I didn't like
Jay-Z hadn't been to those big venues since. So I felt like, you know what I'm saying, to watch the Throne Tour is like, if you mess this up, now it's not me because I haven't had a problem in arenas.
Does
it's
the best
you.
Of both worlds so, even exist anymore? I feel like he scrapped that.
But that tour, no. You can get the best of both worlds. It's on Tidal. It might be one of your few Jay-Z things you can get on Spotify.
On Spotify. He probably don't give a fuck about that album. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what's going on with him, but yeah, that album can stay in the public.
Also, guess who's back by Beanie Single? Jay-Z has a verse on there if you're fiending for some Jay-Z on Spotify.
Yeah, because he took everything down. But he's
on iTunes though, right?
I think he's on iTunes.
Like 444 is on iTunes and some stuff. Some Jay-Z stuff's on iTunes.
Yeah, but it might bounce after a while.
Kanye wasn't on 444 at all, was he? He wasn't on 444 at all, Kanye.
No.
And you know what I noticed is that he left him out of the footnotes too.
Jay-Z got with Kanye's mentor, No ID. No ID did the producing, but that's who got Kanye started making beats.
Did right. you see the footnotes? The video compilation of all, like, Chris Rock was in it, like, all of, like...
Oh, yeah, no, he's not going to be in it.
That, so
come by the house.
Yeah. come Bring by your the film house. Crew. Come yeah. by the house.
Come by the house.
We'll make pudding. Come on, man. Put That's it. A callback.
No, I got it. Yeah. I got it. I got it.
All right, but this all ties beautifully into the song you picked for this episode, mm-hmm. Big Brother. Why did you choose this song?
Well, I chose Big Brother because I figured you guys did Flashing Lights already, so it was like...
I don't know. I don't think we
no,
did.
No, we haven't did. Done
Damn,
Flashing
I didn't realize...
Lights.
Well, see, the thing is, Ooh. Graduation is a really, really great album to me, one of his best for me personally. It came out when I was going into college, my freshman year of college. So I was already a Kanye fan. So Flashing Lights was definitely like the leading single off of that album that got me hooked on it. I Wonder is also an amazing song. But Big Brother, to me, spoke to me the most because I think I had never heard of, like, I had never seen or heard an album or a song, rather, be dedicated. I never saw two black men, two rappers, let alone one raise up the other in a way and kind of like rap in a story that kind of beautifully tells their relationship and how he admired him and how he could barely speak to him when he first met him. And it kind of just, it was one of the few times in song where we got to see very early on Kanye be humble and be very kind of like vulnerable and feet on the ground and kind of like, you know, he wasn't otherworldly in this sense. It was like, this is somebody I really admire. This is my dedication to him and this is how much I love him. So I was really excited about that. Plus, I remember that song will always be cool to me because of the 106 in Park performance that he had with it around when the album came out. I don't know if you guys remember, but when he ended the song, My Big Brother, My Brother, My Brother, he said it and then Jay-Z came out on stage and then did Encore.
Okay, so that episode...
So that was like a really epic moment in 106 in Park history.
Mm-hmm. That episode of 106 in Park was... it was 50 Cent and Kanye.
Yeah.
And 50 Cent was apparently really mad that Jay-Z came out during Kanye's performance because, you know, they have...
Their albums came out on the same day.
Positive 50 Cent, you know, like said, if I get outsold, I'm quitting. And then Jay-Z, you know, comes out and it's like, oh, if 50 Cent knew that, he would have brought out Eminem.
Yeah.
Right. He basically, like, Kanye basically in that arena basically did to him what he did to Ja Rule.
Yeah. Basically. No, yeah. It's definitely like, you know.
I just will always remember that 106 in Park performance just because it was such a shock. I remember the first time I saw that. Mm-hmm. When it was live, like, I was like, did he just bring out Jay-Z? Like, no one saw that coming.
And then Jay-Z walks out, it immediately switches to Encore. You know, a song produced by Kanye.
Everybody was freaking the fuck out. Yeah, like, it was an amazing moment, which made that song. It really made that song because, like, we all know Encore. Like, that album, Black Album came out before Graduation. So we were like, okay, this is dope. But it made the song, it just made Big Brother more important to me in Kanye's, like, discography, if you will. So, yeah, I enjoy that. But the story to that is always funny. Like, I've read, like, Jay-Z's cleanups of the lyrics, if you will. Like, as far as, like, his explanation behind certain things.
Oh, yeah, the jealous moments and things like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's always so funny because Jay is like, yeah, well, Kanye said that, but this is what really happened.
Like, well, yeah, because Jay-Z and Chris Martin were, like, they have been cool for a minute, but them being cool, they didn't have music together.
They didn't have music together, though.
you know, until Beach Chair,
which was out before Graduation,
which was out before Big Graduation,
Homecoming.
Yeah. But you know, Kingdom Come is in a post late registration world. There's probably overlap in them working on it. I would say there are other rap songs where black males talk about other black males in that way, but those black males are always dead.
Very true. right.
You can't bring them out.
You have to be dead. We'll like, in order for me love, to contribute you to, one of y'all got to go. Like,
we'll
you know
always
what I mean?
Love Big Papa.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I reminisce right. over you, my God.
Exactly.
Like yeah, you got to yes. die for me to like.
You got
to
die.
Talk about
and
you.
That's the part. That's the part that spoke to me was just like, oh, here's this rapper. Here's this hip-hop artist. Showing appreciation for the hip hop artist that kind of brought him through, and then you kind of have like a domino effect where Big Sean does it to Kanye, where he right. she shouts Kanye all the time on every song.
He also gives you multiple vulnerabilities.
Yes,
because he starts off. Yes. He's shy. Mm-hmm. He's
ambitious.
He's ambitious. Mm-hmm. He's jealous, and he's, remember, and it all comes full circle.
Yeah. Do you remember Big Sean's "Say You Will" verse, which was about how Kanye wasn't like. Helping him with his career.
Yes,
and stuff.
Yes. And he'll, I mean, Sean would even say that in interviews. It wouldn't even mm-hmm, be on the song. He'd mm-hmm. be like, yeah, he would just be like, you need to do everything on your own. I'm not going to help you. I'm going to help you with this, but I'm not going to help you make a hit song.
Yeah. You hear that, designer?
Yeah, shit. And look where Sean is now. So, like, yeah, it makes sense. But Kanye, I mean, it's just, it's also really, really, really interesting to watch, to listen to that song. And watch the 106 in Park performance and hear how the song got made and what all the stuff he put into it. But then see what the result is, what, maybe 10 years down the line now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they're not speaking. They're not going to each other's, they're not going to his wedding, you know, stuff like that. So, and what for me, what makes me lean more on Jay-Z's defense in this case is that Jay-Z had to clean up a lot of, like, things that people took away from the lyrics of Big Brother. So it makes me, the way my brain works is like, Kanye is one to exaggerate
mm-hmm.
and make things appear to be something that they may not necessarily, like the ticket situation.
Yeah, I read sure. that too.
Like, Jay, like he said what? We only got like four tickets?
Like Kanye, no, he said
no
Kanye,
tickets.
He only mentioned like, it's like, I didn't even get a chance to spit it. And Kanye made me get two tickets. And Jay-Z's like...
Like, he had to pay for them.
Like, yeah. He's like, we gave you four.
We gave you four, nigga.
But you wanted six. If you want six, but we got four, you should pay for two.
Oh, so when he says, I could buy two tickets.
Yeah. That's what,
but two that's extra. Two of six.
But yeah. See, and that speaks
he had,
to Kanye's...
He had four. Right. He won't tell you
so
about
like
the four,
like, Don, right. Ivan, GLC, all could have went.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
That speaks to Kanye's absurdity level, where he's just like... Oh, well, I ain't gonna tell you about them four tickets he gave me, but the right. two, I was hurt and wounded about them two.
Well, no, Kylie said I could buy two tickets. He ain't lie.
He didn't lie, but he also framed it in a way where Jay had to clean truth. It up. Jay had to clean it up and explain to them, no, I didn't stiff him on I didn't make him buy tickets to my show.
Which was sold out in a day. I sold the garden in a day. Like, it wasn't like these tickets were yeah. available, yeah. you know. These are, like, tickets for, like, a show that's, like, epically sold out.
Yeah, they were sold out, like, the first day, probably.
But it sounds good when you say the lyrics. So.
I love how he calls Chris Martin Coldplay.
Yeah.
We've talked about that on the podcast.
No, when it's just Coldplay, when it's just yeah. Chris Martin.
It's much easier to rhyme Coldplay than Chris Martin.
I was also, like, the album art video... That Complex did with I don't know how to say his name right now, but
Tekashi Murakami.
There you go, get yeah. it, Rob. that story was really, really, because I never heard that before. I'd never seen that video before, so it was like for them, they were basically telling the backstory to how Kanye got the album art for graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And so his telling of it was that. And this just speaks to Kanye's, I don't know if you want to call it genius or insanity or a mixture of the two, mm-hmm. but he comes into the room and, like, looks around and starts taking pictures of all of the dude's art, and then he just walks out. No communication, no hello, maybe hello, but then it was just, I'm taking pictures of these things and I'm walking out. And then he says, he contacts him later and says, yo, I want to speak to you. He's like, you had every chance to speak to me the first time
well,
you came into my studio.
Like I think it's very similar to how he finds artists to collaborate with, where he starts from a distance, and you get to see what you like about it specifically. I'm like, okay, now what do they do with it that I love? Now what possibly could I do?
But you can even tell from his account that he was a little taken aback by just that initial interaction, because it's just like, you're not gonna, like,
as so many people
say more than two words to me.
Kanye got really into Takashi Murakami's sculptures of women with big breasts.
Yes, yes.
And he had him make, like, miniature figurines. Those were his invitations to his 30th birthday party the summer before Graduation came out. And if you remember the Glow in the Dark tour, the lady that, like was brought down, that's, like, one of those Takashi Murakami sculptures. So maybe the pictures was for that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think when you look at the looking at Murakami's art, I feel like it's very abstract. It's very, like you know, there's one thing and it's kind of out. And I feel like Graduation is probably the most concrete that we've seen. You know, you can clearly interpret that, you know, the bear is being launched into the world with the varsity jacket on. And, you know, I mean, that starts the whole obsession that people have with the Air Mags. You know, he puts, you know, the DeLorean in there. He puts the, you know, the Air Mags on him. So I feel like, I mean, that whole aesthetic, there's people that's still dressing with, like, baseball collars on their jackets, you know, like the varsity jacket style now. So I mean, I feel like I don't know, it was revolutionary at the time to just be like, this is my new style, but it's gonna be on this bear. And he had to make him a Jesus piece,
right?
The Murakami Jesus piece.
I do like the way he talked about how Kanye started from a distance, and when he would posit his ideas about, like, all right, these little details in the background, but it always seemed like these are things that I need to represent, but the artist still doesn't.
Yeah, he said he had like 30% of, like, stuff to give while they were working together, him in the studio. So that was, like, you know, something really cool.
Yeah.
He's able to pull back. Yeah, I didn't know that about him.
It speaks a lot to collaborating with artists, which isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to do because they spend so much time in control.
Mm-hmm.
So if you even have success in a relationship in that manner, that speaks big to how much you're on the same wavelength, how much inspiration you might give the artist, and just what ideas you actually bring to the table. Because I feel like most artists of this stature, probably most people who come to him like, can you do this? He'd probably be like, no, that sucks. I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Kanye's a different dude. It's because you see him working all these different pathways. And no matter what you say about him, what you think of his genius and insanity, he makes it work.
He does. I feel like Big Brother didn't. I feel like, did it get radio play?
No,
I don't think so.
It's too slow.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of feel like,
Homecoming got radio play.
Homecoming definitely did. I feel like when it came to Big Brother, I feel like it should have. It maybe should have even gotten a video.
Stronger got radio play.
I feel like Big Brother could have gotten a video, and I would have been.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe if, like, home footage of them in the studio.
There are three flashing lights videos.
Good Life.
Good Life got a video.
Yeah. But, I mean, he also has, yeah, that's true.
And Good Life's video is like a jab at Justice.
You think so?
Because he jumped on stage during Justice winning the video of the year, remember?
At
the European MTV Awards.
That was the first one, right?
Yeah. So then Justice does their video for, is it for Dance with the T-shirts? And they have all the different stuff with rotoscoped on the T-shirts. And then Kanye uses the same effect on the Good Life. Like, kind of like a F you to them.
So that's where Wale got it.
Wale Dance comes out. Yeah, he got, mean, he was spoofing the video. Right. Yeah.
Cause I saw the Wale video first.
Before you saw you, have you ever seen the Justice video?
I can't even.
The Justice video was first.
I know the guy. That's what I saw. I saw Wale first. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No. The dance video is first.
Okay.
Because Dance, that video comes out around the time the Can't Tell Me Nothing video comes out.
Gotcha.
What do you think is going to become of their relationship, Jay and Kanye?
I mean,
at this point in the game,
I guess it
this
could
next
go...
album's going to be fire, first off.
Or you have to wait till somebody dies and you get that other vulnerable record, I
Big
guess.
Brother Part 2. Little Brother, or Little Brother if it's Kanye. We were scared it would be him, but no, I don't think it's going to happen.
I've said this before, but Big Brother was setting up a campaign that led to Watch the Throne. And I think that the relationship between Kanye and Jay-Z is exaggerated. Mm. Kanye is not there for Reasonable Doubt. He's not there for Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. Those are whole volumes of Sean Carter's life, you know, that he's not there for.
Yeah, like, that's
like
true.
Jay-Z is
that's
a
true.
Full
grown-ass man.
Ass
yeah.
man
right.
By the time the Dynasty
that's true.
Comes
that's
out.
That's true, yeah.
And that's when Kanye
yeah.
has a beat sent to Jay-Z.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. we're in the mall, we yell out Jigga. Jigga's not in that same mall, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that, you know, it's very exaggerated. I think, you know.
Do you think it's one of those situations where one person loves more than the other?
No, I think it's a situation where someone is the president of Def Jam and the head of Rockefeller Records. You're the only thing going on Rockefeller Records. You have this album that is amazing, but it's pushing the bounds of hip hop. You need a track that's gonna bring it back to like
this is
with like the label you're on, you know, so that it just all make like this is still a Rockefeller album. This is still, you know, that and how does that exist in this space? This record, I feel like it. You know, I feel like they're not brothers. I don't think, you know, I think but prior to this, to that, you know, I feel like that it's a chess move.
Mm-hmm.
And he aligned himself with Jay-Z. And now, you know, 10 years later, there's a documentary coming out about their relationship. Like,
is that a half hour or an hour?
I don't know.
No matter how much time it is, the fact that there's a special, you know, where they sit down with people and they're going to talk about the relationship between Kanye and Jay-Z. When we know Kanye has lifelong friends, we know Kanye has people in his circle. Like
yeah, I feel like Kanye is going to have more to say about the relationship than Jay.
This
would.
Is some industry stuff.
Yeah.
This is like clearly some industry stuff.
This,
you know?
This might be a far out comparison. You might get mad at me. But think a little bit of Batman and Robin.
It's not Batman and
no,
Robin.
No, I'm thinking, but think about
it's
it.
It's not, they not in a two-seater got to drop a 999.
What happens to Dick Grayson after he's tired of fucking playing with Batman?
It's more like sports. We were more right with the LeBron Kyrie. It's more two people, they don't know each other that well. But, you know, they working together on something. Last Call starts off with Jay-Z saying, fuck you, Kanye, first and foremost, for making me do this shit.
You don't think tonight we can get Batman in the studio and make that happen?
And Batman's like, fuck you, Nightwing. Making me do this shit.
I'm just talking about the transition from...
I had to get everyone out the room, Batman. I said,
no,
toast, motherfucker.
I'm not thinking so much of the Robin relationship as the Nightwing. It's like, you know, you two, you got to be more peers now. Maybe you just want
to
be.
Here's the thing. You always got to bring it back to comic books. Okay, Chris?
What?
We know you like comic books. But this time it don't fit. Because Kanye and Jay-Z, when they made Watch the Throne, so you saying that's. When they in Australia, that's Wayne Manor, and they, you know, training or whatever.
I mean, that might be like a Nanda Parbat kind of thing.
I don't know. I mean, okay, here's the element that's missing from this whole thing is that Dame Dash had a big part of Kanye's Rockefeller existence, and Dame Dash is out of the picture by the time. You know, Dame Dash is not
gonna. How do you feel
gonna...
about that too? Because in that song, in Big Brother specifically, he says used to be Dame
and used to be Dame and Big's yeah. brother. And I feel like that's kind of that's it's really shady.
It's not shady.
Well, to jump
it's,
in,
it's acknowledging Dame.
It's acknowledging Dame, but it's also calling attention to, like, I feel like in a way in that specific point of those lyrics, there's a situation where it's like, oh, Dame used to be his brother, but they fell out. Now I'm his brother.
It's better than what happened to you and Dame, man. Are y'all okay, man? He's doing the Indian dance to bring our rain back. Like, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's making fun of the LeBron challenge slash Dame Dash dance, you know? Like, to me, I think that that's a big part of the story. You know, like, if you listen to Last Call, the person, you know, Kanye's contact was Dame. You know, Dame signed Kanye.
Yeah.
Dame was like, you know, maybe we'll put Cameron on every song, save the album. That's Dame.
I don't know.
I'm sure they don't keep in touch anymore.
I haven't seen like a Kanye phone call. Dame's
the one that's like, are you that kid Kanye? You gave all them beats to Jay-Z? He got classics to your beats, B. You know what I'm saying? That's Dame. So I feel like when Big Brother, to me, Big Brother is fiction. There's a reason why we don't know about the other four tickets. There's a reason why, you know.
Okay, dig into the like
when we talk to Really though, you know, when they in the mall mm-hmm. wearing Iceberg, that's, you know, that's him hanging out with Really though in GLC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are yelling out Jigga.
So it's more not fiction, it's exaggeration.
It's an exaggeration. It's a creating and aligning of, you know, you could say maybe that J. Cole song where he talks about Kanye is the same thing, where he's aligning himself with one of the greats. Like, Jay-Z solidified. Jay-Z retired. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Came back. Like, Jay-Z, like, already got his flowers and then was like, all right, I'm really not leaving. I just wanted some tributes. I wanted, you know what I'm saying? I wanted people to see this movie, you know, but...
He's like Celine Dion.
Kanye's bubbling up when all that's happening. When all the, like, retirement, this could be the last album, this is the black album, I'm fading to black, all that stuff's happening. Kanye's seeing that. So he's seeing how to use manipulation, and he does it. It's the same thing as using Jesus and not being a gospel artist. You know, it's the same thing. Same thing so as if that, George Bush doesn't care about black people. It's the same thing. The only thing is he was able to make an album with this George Bush.
So if this is manipulation and exaggeration, do you think, given what we've seen recently from Kanye's at least thoughts on their relationship, do you think he's bought too much into the manipulation?
Either he's bought into it, or he doesn't know how to swing it. Because I feel like if you are gonna create a scenario where you align yourself as someone's brother, then there has to be something in your head where you're like, I have to figure out a way to make this flip so that we're enemies. Or if it flips and we're enemies, I have to be ready.
Yeah, because I mean,
that has to be
whose fan base is more vicious and loyal.
I don't think it's about fan base. Like,
well, I mean, if you're trying to pit yourself against someone, you got to be ready to take on those people who are loyal fans to the person you call your brother. And you also have legion.
I think Kanye fans are more rabid than fucking Jay-Z fans.
Yeah, you're right, but that's because a lot of Kanye fans are like younger and they live.
He has a more diverse fan base.
When you look at the video that came out when he was calling, weren't there more than one video from the last tour where he
come
like,
by the house
called? Yeah, you know, like
that's
that
the main one. Yeah,
like come by the house to me speaks to what you were saying, Rob. Was like, Jay-Z's not coming over there. Like, why are you inviting this type of
controversy? It's not even just that. He's like, Jay, don't have your killers come after me. Like, I know you got people. Like, don't. I'm like,
you know, that's talking about J. Cole, Vic Mensa.
Is that who he was talking about?
Yeah.
He's paranoid. All right. Okay.
He's talking about, you know,
If J. Cole walked up to my house, I would not be concerned about some beef I had with Jay-Z.
I'd be like,
I feel like,
hey,
J. Cole, what are you doing? Are you a bill collector? What are you here trying?
I would not think J. Cole was a bill collector.
Like, no, but like, what exactly
sir,
do you want?
I don't have any spare change.
You and all of that hair.
Sir, I don't
right?
want the neighbors to think I'm selling dope. Please yeah. leave.
You and all of that hair, sir. What?
I got some Febreze in here if you need it. I got.
I'm not thinking about Jay Z. If you roll up on my, of J. Cole's rolling up to my house,
right Jermaine, you need to take a shower. we got a shower in there. If you need to take a shower,
yeah,
man.
You right. He not a bill collector because J. Cole doesn't owe bills to anyone because he paid all his loan debt, which is why my mother is a big fan of him. Apparently, she likes him. She likes him. Because
I guess
he
you
raps
could put you could
debt.
Put your house on your album if you debt free.
Yeah, you own it.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm putting a trap house on my album. You're not gonna find out where I live.
That Atlanta's creeping up about you. That's what's happening.
Oh man,
Alex, when's the first time you heard of Kanye West?
I was.
Oh, whoa! I'm so sorry. We gotta talk about this sample.
Exactly.
Okay, Prince.
Yeah. Good job, Chris, finding this sample. I had no clue.
I didn't either.
That Gonna Be Lonely, and I've heard the Prince album, Prince's second album, plenty of times and never made that connection. Also, when Graduation came out, there was this mixtape called Hip Hop Is Red, and it had all the samples. That song is missing because in 2007, that's when Prince took over the internet and like erased everything Prince from the internet that like was, you know, illegal. So
but now
whoever,
he's on Spotify.
Yeah, he's back.
I feel bad, though, because I feel like he's somewhere cursing me out.
Yeah, he want his masters to have his masters. You know, I'm not a Jay-Z fan, but that was a great line. You know, I'm going to give it to your boy. You know? Shout out to Nas. So,
did Kanye and Prince ever have, like, a moment together? Did they have, like, a...
I know he's spoken about Prince. I mean, it's not Kanye. I know Prince spoke about
Prince seems like
Kanye.
He really wouldn't be that interested.
Prince has said he likes Kanye.
That he was a fan.
He's given him praise before.
I've never heard that. I didn't know that they had like a run-in or anything like that. Prince has always been like someone that's very like disconnected from
Kanye produced O3 Bonnie and Clyde, where Beyonce sings a bridge that is a sample of If I Was Your Girlfriend by Prince. And later that year, that Beyonce Prince Grammys moment happens. So he might be the connection. He might have put Beyonce on Prince.
Well, Prince was the one who told Beyonce that she needed to learn how to play instruments.
Did she do that?
Probably not.
No.
I haven't seen her.
Does she play the
pull
guitar
out a trumpet
Betty's
or a piano
lesson?
Yet? I have not
I have
seen
yet
it
to
yet.
See Beyonce hold an instrument.
Maybe she's working on it for the next.
Oh no,
album.
Beyonce don't hold her own instrument.
Oh yeah, if she starts
but
playing
she
an
might
instrument,
play it. You know what I'm saying?
Please believe someone's
she
holding
might play
an
the violin on somebody else's neck.
Movie Herms, I got with a movie.
Yeah. Prince and Kanye. They would have made a really good collaboration. That would have been a good song.
That would have been dope.
Had, you know, Prince been around.
There's other samples on that album. I'm trying to think of.
Doesn't I Wonder sample something?
I Wonder samples LaBee Saffrey.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
that's one of my, that's like my second favorite song off of that album. Well, third. I like Flashing Lights the most, actually. Yeah. Even though I chose Big Brother, but it meant more to me. Because Flashing Lights is just like the go to the get ready for the party song.
Yeah. And it's Dwele, another Detroit shout out.
Yeah, Dwele, I forgot about that.
He's from you Detroit? Should,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You should follow him on Instagram. He's a family man now.
Does he not do music
anymore? No, he still does music, but he's also a family man.
Does he live in Detroit still?
I believe he either still lives in Detroit or lives around somewhere nearby.
In New York?
No, in Detroit.
Oh,
like,
in Detroit.
Like, you know, like.
You know how
Metro.
To like go. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that also because that's the thing. Kanye did work with a lot of Detroit artists too, because he worked with Slum Village too for right. And what was it, College Dropout for what was the name of that song? I used to love the video for it.
I'm going.
Yes.
I met Miss California from that video. She came to one of my shows. I follow her on Instagram. Shout out to Miss California.
Yeah, that was around when I met, to answer your question.
I remember when that song came out, I was in middle school, I think. And I used to...
It was probably that.
My aunt used to drive me. High school. And they used to play that song on the radio all the time. Yeah. She hated that song.
It was in Heavy Rock. Well, it was because Slum Village was a part of it.
No, so. she hated it because she was like, why you gotta... She was like, why you gotta have all the ladies? Like, I was like, they literally says, like, it's called selfish.
Yeah. That was... I will say, that's probably, to answer your question, when I first heard Kanye, I feel like.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, because, like... He hadn't, that was a part of College Dropout. That was the first album.
No, I don't, was that?
Yeah. Slum Village?
This is Slum Village song.
This is Slum Village song.
You're right.
With a John Legend-ass nigga.
I'm thinking, my train of thought is that was a Kanye song that made it to an album because he was on it. Because that's how I processed that. But that was my first time hearing Kanye.
From the Polo Fleece to the Pieces, Please.
Yeah, and I was just like, it was, I always kind of had this, like, awareness, like, who is this new rapper? And mm-hmm. who is it? Because, I mean, at the time, everybody was still listening to the radio.
Obie Trice. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So we were like, I think he just started just popping up. I mean, Kanye was one of them artists for me that was just like, he's hot now. This was like post-Nelly Dilemma mm-hmm. with Kelly Rowland. Mm-hmm. And when you had your CD case with you, when you had like your summer mix 2002 mix CD that you sold mm-hmm. off your burnt CDs when you know this was the CD burner. He came post CD burner, like slowly trickling into the MP3 players. Like that was when Kanye really like came in mm-hmm. to his own. So I was like, okay, who's this person? And then he just started popping up more, and I was like, okay, I like him. I dig him.
By selfish, I think I was like full, like, all right. I'm wearing a collar every day.
Like, yeah, I was definitely pulled out for about a good 7 year span. Yeah. Because and with the collar up, like, yeah. The sweater, polo sweaters also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good for the winter.
Was Farnsworth in that video?
Yeah. Farnsworth was in that video.
I think that might have been one of the first.
I tailored my life after him for like 2 years. Like Farnsworth Bentley was everything that I wanted to be. I carried around colorful umbrellas on campus.
I brought an umbrella to a picnic one time.
Did
it got roasted so hard.
I was gonna say, you did you get rave reviews?
No.
Okay.
The umbrella did not work out well at Piedmont Park.
Remember Farnsworth Bentley's reality show? Full disclosure, I submitted to be on that show when I was in college. I tried to like make this profile like I was supposed to be like this really like rough and like dude that had a bad deal handed to him in life. So I took like this really shitty picture of myself, a couple, and like because they had like an email you could email to people to be like, if you want to be on the next season from Jeezy Gents, you know, send your picture, your bio. So I'm in my fucking college dorm room just emailing the fuck out of this production, whatever email they gave. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to be a G. I'm going to act like a G and turn into a gent. And I'm going to get on TV. I'm going to be famous.
That's
gonna be
smart.
Yeah, but it didn't work.
It worked for Riff Raff.
I could have been Riff Raff.
You could have been Riff Raff.
But then I also, so this also happened in college. When it was like my last year in college, when Kanye did that whole Donda email thing where he was like, everybody email this Gmail account.
Oh, I did.
You did too?
Oh, yeah.
What did you say in your email? Because I feel like I'm still waiting on that email, and that was like 10 years ago.
At that time, me and this Australian guy came up with this game for Runaway where you could, like, the same guy that made the app for the iPhone to play the Daft Punk song, so I sent them that. I sent them some pictures I had made. I sent them like my blog at the time. Like I sent them.
You
like,
were smarter than me because I sent them nothing but a bunch of words talking about I love you, Kanye.
Well, yeah, no, I did that. I wrote like a serious essay about how
I would
like,
love to see what that email said again. I don't even have it. I couldn't even pull it up.
Yeah, no, I sent my resume. I mean, I was really like. Looking for a job at that time.
Hell
I was right out of school, so I was mm-hmm. like, if I get this Donda job, it's a wrap.
You were banking on it. You were like, he's going to respond.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really?
I'm so glad I wasn't the only person that was like lost in delusion and thinking that it was possible that he was going
to
email
Big
me.
Big Sean had Finally Famous. You sent an email to tell him why you're Finally Famous, and he put you on YouKnowBigSean.com. I sent him an email.
I'm still Facebook
telling
friends
him
with Sean.
About my my beginning of doing stand-up comedy and everything, and yeah.
I remember when people were throwing Big Sean's mixtape on the ground outside of Club Blue in, like, 2005.
I remember just going to, like, remember when him, it was him and Mike Posner used to Mike call Posner. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah, because they were, like, the up-and-coming, like, Michigan. Because Mike Posner wasn't from Detroit. He's from Troy, right?
Yeah.
But so they were like the up-and-coming Michigan artists.
He never said Troy.
Of course never. He didn't, because nobody would ever know what the fuck that was.
And he, but he always
he
had
said big, Duke, though.
He did say Duke.
Did he graduate from Duke?
I don't know if he graduated. I know he went.
Is he still doing music? Because I don't hear much about him anymore.
I'm not familiar with the exploits.
He's on Based on a True Story.
No
you
idea.
You got a track on 2 Chainz' first album.
Okay. Check him out.
So that was 5 years ago. I don't know what
he's no, doing. No, what's happening now. Yeah.
Since then. But, you know.
You know what Big Sean is doing.
I know what Big Sean is doing. Yeah, I remember when people used to throw his mixtapes on the ground, like, and not listen to him at all. And then when you hear him tell the story about running over to WJLB.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, Kanye, you know, I feel like, well, see, and that's, to me, when we talk about Big Brother and we talk about Jay's relationship with Kanye, if, based on what we know Sean's relationship to be, it seems like it's distanced more. Like, Sean has become more of an independent of himself because of the way Kanye.
But to me, that's more of a Big Brother relationship.
That's more of a Big Brother. I feel like Sean would be more justified in speaking about Kanye the way it'd be less exaggerated on Sean's end, much unlike how Kanye is with Jay. Do you think that's because Kanye, even though he had amassed a certain amount of success by the time Big Sean came into prominence, it still wasn't the same as how much Jay had?
I feel like if you listen to Big Sean, he's always talking about it, though.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
true.
If you listen to Nothing Is Stopping You, you know, he sets up a whole scenario where he's outside a radio station and guys like Renegade, Never Been Afraid, you know, drinking lemonade,
But what if there was a clause in Sean's contract where he was like, look, you need to shout me out on every album?
I also feel like
or Big Roscoe Sean. Dash is coming. Early in the month.
Big Sean has, especially if you listen to his last album, you can he's got like a foundation around him.
Yes, his mother. Yeah.
It's not too dissimilar from Kanye in that sense. But you can tell where his family is important to him. You can tell his relationship is very important to him.
Yeah.
He's grounded. He's grounded as fuck.
But you know what I will say is that he has let some motherfuckers go. Because when I was in Detroit a couple weeks ago, when I was on tour, I went into this restaurant with a couple friends of mine to catch up, and I saw someone who used to like be in his crew tough. I won't name no names. However, I did see this dude just sitting at a bar with like three other people, and it didn't look like he had much going on with good music or bad.
Well, you know,
I was like, wow, somebody didn't make it into the, you know, into the wheelhouse.
You know, I mean,
but this is somebody that used to promote his shit heavy when we were like in high school and in college.
Big Sean got robbed.
He got robbed.
He got robbed a couple years ago.
Was it by a friend?
He got robbed. It was. He had people staying in his house. So that could be very true.
I don't think it was this person, though.
No. I'm not saying that. But this person could have felt the aftermath.
Oh, probably. I mean, I'm sure he was a part of a whole, like, I got of a bunch of people cut off, chopped off the block.
Yeah, he was doing, Alex was chopping while he was
chopping. Yeah, I didn't mean to, like, you know, y'all didn't see that genius that just happened, but yeah.
When's the first time you heard a
we got to wind this down.
Oh, we just did that?
Yeah, we did that. Okay, already. I thought that's what you was doing.
What's your favorite Kanye song, least favorite Kanye song?
My least favorite Kanye song would have to be from the Yeezus album. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. It's Blood on the Leaves.
A lot of people don't like Blood on the Leaves.
It's two in a row.
I wish we had this before we talked to Nori about it. Because Nori made it seem like everybody didn't feel the weirdness I was feeling the first time I heard Blood on the Leaves. Carry on.
It's I just, it's not, it doesn't really make sense to me. And it was one of the it's one of the few times where, I mean, maybe someone can fill me in on what it means, but I don't know what that song. I mean, Yeezus was already like an album where I was kind of like, this feels rushed. I don't really know what he's saying. Every other album has always kind of been like made sense to me. This was the one time where this album kind of felt like all over the place. And Blood on the Leaves definitely didn't help that.
There's not one song from that album that I gotta take. Blood from. On the Leaves, because I do appreciate the like the reaction that it gives me, but I also don't like the irresponsibility of using Strange Fruit to talk about, you know, taking Molly and coming out your body.
That's one of the moments where I would need him. You know how certain artists will do like a commentary?
Like a storyteller.
A story, like, oh, that's what I would need. I would need like a Yeezus album where he's like bit for bit saying like what this meant or what this song was about. Like, that, like, if you're going to use a reference like that, if you're going to sample some a work of art like that.
Yeah.
You need to kind of explain what that means, because that song means a great deal to a lot of people.
Exactly. And I think, you know, he could have went the easy route and talked about the life of O.J. Simpson over that sample. But instead, he did something more difficult and tried to change what it's about. Shout out to Nas.
Talked about his wife. Oh, like. Man. But yeah, Blur Only is probably like one of the most underwhelming songs I think he's ever made.
Mm-hmm. See it live. You will change your mind.
Oh, really? I've never seen it live.
Yeah. Yeah. When you see it live, yeah. Because white people don't care. They get hype.
Right. Because they have no idea what the fuck they're listening to. Yeah.
What's your most favorite Kanye song?
It would have to, I guess Flashing Lights is up there. Only because, like, I just have really fond memories with that song. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we just always, I would always get dressed to that song, go out. Yeah.
Which Flashing Lights like, video do you like the best?
The very first one that came out.
Okay.
Well, I'm not a big fan of when people do things, like, back-to-back repeated.
Is that the first one with, the kidnap?
Yeah,
the Kanye.
The first one. Yeah. Okay. I like the first one.
So you like
the first
Kanye
one.
Getting murdered? All right.
Well, he did it, not me.
Yeah, no, that's true.
He wants the vulnerable Jay-Z album.
He made that. Yes,
I want Spike vulnerable Jones. Kanye.
Yeah.
That was Spike Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I mean, Graduation was an artistic moment for Kanye that I think if he were even to make, I wouldn't request him to go back. I wouldn't say he should go back to that. A lot of people want old Kanye back. And
how are you gonna go back?
How can you go back? Yeah, like, you can't go back from that.
Teacher's assistant.
I think much like any artist, you go through periods of change. And you know, I feel like
Nori goes to camp.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know where you would want him to go if he went back to college. Like, what do you want him to be saying? Like, he has to do things according to, like, what his lifestyle is now. So if his lifestyle is now I'm wearing army boots in 100-degree weather, then he's going to give you army boots in 100-degree weather music. Like, you're not going to get polo all year round. You're going to get army boots with an oversized T-shirt. Like, that's it. I love how Kim like takes his clothes and like remixes it when he's not wearing them, and then they kind of have on like matching outfits. Does anyone notice that he dresses her?
So, yeah. The whole family. Look at Chris on the show. She be having Calabasas sweats and she be wearing the boots and everything.
I can't with any of that, but yeah.
Rob can.
Hey, I'm caught up.
I look forward to the next album, though. I do.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great.
I just saw photos of Kid Cudi.
They've made up, right?
Yeah, they've made up.
I'm glad. I'm actually more happy about their relationship than him and Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that might be the relationship that needs to actually get dissected on
yeah,
album,
yeah.
A little bit more intimately.
Absolutely. Because
you hear that, British broadcasting?
I'm telling you that I don't think they're going to have shit.
Are they going to interview Kid Cudi maybe about
it?
No, they interview Clark Kent, and they interviewing GLC.
Toure.
So you're going to get somebody who always talks about how Jay-Z's the greatest rapper, and then you're going to also get somebody who publicly just critique Kanye on the Kanye side. It's like, this is very biased. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I already know. I already know what's going to happen. BBC, holler at me. You didn't holler at me. You didn't holler at Chris. We could have been in there together. We could have been somebody. Alex.
We could have had it all.
We gonna let you finish. But this is the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Do you got anything you want to plug? Anything you want to promote? You want the people to know?
You can just go to alexenglishcomedy.com.
Ooh, website.
For all of the information that you need to know about me. That's it.
Okay.
Where can I find you on Twitter? Online, anything like that?
Alex, on Twitter, Alex English, the three in English. The E in English is a three. And Facebook, Facebook's weird. So just Twitter. I've been getting some weird messages lately on Facebook. So you could just get on Twitter and do that thing. And on Instagram. But yeah, mainly Twitter.
Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Got anything?
No, I don't got nothing. You know where to find me. I'll be at where I'll be at.
Thanks for listening, guys. All day, nigga. Cheers. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.